Hi, I'm Michelle from YFS. Thanks for joining us for our podcast series on stuff you need to know about the law. Today we're focusing on family law, and with me is Vi and Mel from the YFS legal team. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey.
How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Good. Okay, so today we're going to have a chat about what to do if you're served with a domestic violence application. So that is if you're the respondent for an application. All right. Before we get started, I just want to mention that the information provided today is not intended as legal advice. So if you do believe that you need some legal advice or the situation relates to you, at the end we'll give a couple of websites and stuff that you can contact if you want further information. All right, let's get started. So how do we know if a domestic violence application has been made if we're not the person making it?
So normally if you are a respondent in an application, the police will come and serve you with that application. So that means the police might come to your house or they might phone you and say, come to the station to be served. That just means giving you the application.
Right.
That application will tell you who the aggrieved person is, so who the person is who's making the application.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the aggrieved person will be, probably be your most recent partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the applicant can be the same person or it might be a police officer if they've been to see the police.
Right.
It will also detail what the act of domestic violence is that you are being accused of, so what you have alleged to have done. And it will tell you on the last page when you have to appear in court and which court you need to appear in.
Okay. All right. And I suppose that when people get the application and have an understanding of what's been said, probably the first thing is, what do I do now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the steps that they need to do then if you're a respondent? What do you need to do?
Yeah, I would say seek legal advice at that stage, which you can find a community legal service that provides free legal advice on the website, and make sure that you do attend court or the date that the service has required you to attend court. Because if you do not attend court at that stage, or the what we call a first mention, a final order could be made in your absence.
Right.
So it's very important to get legal advice.
Okay, yeah. And as you said, community legal centres, you can access free legal information and advice from a lawyer,
yeah. And don't panic too much if you can't get legal advice before you go to court in that first mention. So check that last page.
Okay.
Check the date for court, because sometimes the police will call you on a Sunday afternoon and court's on Monday. There's no chance for you to get legal advice. So don't panic.
Okay.
But if you do have time, absolutely consult a lawyer in between.
Yeah. So let's say for example, maybe I haven't had time to consult a lawyer. I rock up to court on the Monday. Is there anyone there I can talk to kind of find out what's going to happen?
There are lots of people to talk to at court when you're a respondent. So the first thing you need to do, make sure you go to court, check in with the DV service who will check you in and make sure you're on the list.
Okay.
So that the court doesn't deal with your matter in your absence, because you've come to court and you've sat down quietly and been respectful.
Yes.
Have to make yourself known. And then you can ask to speak to a duty lawyer if one's on duty.
Mm-hmm.
You sign up for that service if you like. It's a free service. They can give you legal advice. They can represent you in court sometimes. And they can sometimes help with the negotiation so you can finalise your matter really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes not all courts offer a duty lawyer at court. And if that is the case, so if you have to attend a court, a magistrate court that do not offer the duty lawyer service, don't be afraid to stand up in court and ask for an adjournment to seek legal advice.
Okay, yeah, because I imagine it would probably be, you know, for anyone going to court, it's usually a little bit intimidating, a little bit scary, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. Okay. And I suppose one of the things that I'm wondering is if you don't necessarily agree with what's been stated you've done. Yeah. Do you get an opportunity to actually talk about how you see the situation, or?
So that opportunity mostly comes with your duty lawyer if you see one, or your legal representative if you're getting some advice elsewhere. As a respondent at the first mention, your job is to say what you want to do with the order, whether or not you consent to the conditions you're being asked to live by, or if you don't consent.
Yeah, so usually with a respondent, they usually have about four options on what they can choose to do. So the first option could be that they consent and say, look, I agree to everything that I've been alleged to have done. And then at that stage, an order will then be made final. The legislation does stipulate that there is a mandatory 5-year period. However, that could change if you're able to make submissions in relation to the length.
Okay.
The second option that's available to a respondent is they can consent without admission, which means that they consent to an order being made final, but they don't admit to any of the allegations that has been made against them in the order. Or another option is they could negotiate and maybe decide to take an undertaking. What you an undertaking means where you make a promise to each other that, I'm not going to, I'll be of good behaviour towards you for a period of 2 years. And the other option is they can contest the application.
Okay.
And that's where they'll go into a hearing.
Yeah.
And that's when you get to tell your story as a respondent. Okay. So the only way you really get to notify the court about what you say happened, if you don't agree with what happened, is if you do get to that hearing stage when you have to give your evidence. So it can feel very skewed against a respondent because the aggrieved gets to tell their story and the respondent's job at the time they go to court is just, do I agree or don't I agree? And their story doesn't come out till later unless you want to make some written submissions to police. But you do have to be a bit careful with that, but get some legal advice before you do that.
Okay, yeah. So, and essentially anyone can access legal information and advice through a community legal centre.
That's right. They offer no cost advice.
Okay. All right. So let's say orders have been made. What are my obligations as the respondent?
So if an order has been made by your consent or by the court, you have to live by those rules.
Okay.
So those are going to be rules that govern how you behave, where you go, what happens if you're out in public and you see the aggrieved person. So there might be an order saying that you have to be 100 metres away from them at all times. You might be sitting down enjoying a lovely brunch that's just been served to you and the aggrieved walks into that restaurant. You do have to get up and you do have to leave. That obligation is on you.
Okay.
You've either agreed to do that by consenting or the court has made an order that that's what you must do as a consequence of your behaviour.
So let's say I go, oh, it doesn't really matter. What are the consequences if I don't necessarily sort of do what I'm meant to do?
Yeah, so it's really important that the respondent understands the conditions of the domestic violence order, because sometimes there could be a condition where they're not allowed to go within 100 metres of if the children are named in an order. That might prohibit the respondent from going within 100 metres of a school or daycare.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's really important that they understand those conditions because if they do breach it, and the law takes these breaches very seriously, so if there is a condition, for example, that states you're not allowed within 100 metres of where the aggrieved lives, works or frequents, and you attend their place of residence, and the aggrieved rings the police, informs the police, they will be charged for contravening a protection order, and it does carry a heavy penalty.
Okay.
And then they would also then have to attend a criminal jurisdiction or answer to those charges.
Yeah. So there would be criminal charges for breaching that protection order. And the consequences, as Vice said, are really serious. Anything from a fine for really technical breaches up to potentially 3 years imprisonment, even for your first offence, depending on the severity. So it is really, really important that you understand your conditions and that you can live by them.
What if you want some support with understanding the conditions? Like, you know, like I'm just sort of wondering if you want to clarify and make sure you truly understand what those conditions mean to make sure that you are abiding by them, can you get like advice or support on understanding those?
Absolutely. You can contact, again, DV Connect.
Okay.
DV Connect have a specific men's line you can call if you are a male respondent, and you can call and ask for some support around that.
Okay.
Your best, my best advice in terms of understanding the orders that have been made is seek some legal advice. Somewhere like DV Connect is going to be able to assist you with some sort of counselling and support. They're not going to be able to give you legal advice about what those orders mean. So do consult a lawyer. You can see a community legal centre. You can pay for a lawyer. You can contact legal aid. Any kind of legal service will be able to help you understand what those orders mean for you.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, isn't it, to once you've gone through the process, there are orders in place, really important to understand what they mean so that you can make sure that you're abiding by the conditions.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think it's also important if you're a respondent, because sometimes, as we had mentioned before, if you do not attend and an order is made final, sometimes they don't actually realise what conditions have actually been placed in the protection order. And then when they're served with a final order, that's when some would find out, like, well, hang on, we're still in a relationship. But it says here that I can't be in the property. Mm. That's where I would say, again, get legal advice because there is a way where you can maybe vary the order to bring it back to before the court.
Right. But, yeah, so advice is really important.
It is really important because the protection orders, they're not written in plain English.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of legalese. They're quite convoluted to say something really very simple. So if you don't understand them, number one, don't feel stupid. Just go get some advice about how to do it because, sorry, how to understand it because it's not written very clearly.
And, you know, you can access free legal advice.
That's
I think
right.
that's also really important for everyone to understand, so the YFS Legal Service, yfs.org.au or 3826 1500. Thank you very much.
Thank you.